From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. The subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's meditation is found in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 41. I will rejoice over them to do them good. How heart-cheering to the believer is the delight which God has in His saints. We cannot see any reason in ourselves why the Lord should take pleasure in us. We cannot take delight in ourselves, for we often have to groan being burdened, conscious of our sinfulness and deploring our unfaithfulness. And we fear that God's people cannot take much delight in us, for they must perceive so much of our imperfections and our follies that they may rather lament our infirmities than admire our graces. But we love to dwell upon this transcendent truth, this glorious mystery, that as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so does the Lord rejoice over us. We do not read anywhere that God delighteth in the cloud-capped mountains or the sparkling stars, but we do read that He delighteth in the habitable parts of the earth, and that His delights are with the sons of men. We do not find it written that even angels give His soul delight, nor doth He say concerning cherubim and seraphim, Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. But He does say it to all poor fallen creatures like ourselves, debased and depraved by sin, but saved, exalted, and glorified by His grace. In what strong language He expresses His delight in His people! Who could have conceived of the Eternal One as bursting forth into a song? Yet it is written, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. As He looked upon the world He had made, He said, It is very good. But when He beheld those who are the purchase of Jesus' blood, His own chosen ones, it seemed as if the great heart of the infinite could restrain itself no longer, but overflowed in divine exclamations of joy. Should not we utter our grateful response to such a marvelous declaration of His love, and sing, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Thank you.
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series based on Psalm 138 as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Certain Subjection of All Earthly Powers to Our God and to His Christ. The text is verses 4 and 5. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Here is a text that awaits future fulfillment, when all the rulers of this world shall worship God as he commands. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the study of prophecy ought to have an impact in the believer's life now. Implicit in the text is God's transcendent sovereignty, but there is also the overarching truth of his redemptive purpose. And now, to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
There is this constant promise It's given in the Old Testament. The Bible ends with the prophecy of its fulfillment at the end of the New Testament. And it is the truth of our text of the absolute universal dominion of Christ and his gospel as all the kings and nations of the earth fall before him in voluntary submission and in true and spiritual worship. That is the promise. It's clear, and yet there's a lot of debate. Obviously, when is this going to happen? And of course, that becomes a millennial debate. Amillennialists, normally idealists in treating prophecy, for example, coming to the book of the Revelation in an idealist setting, the book of the Revelation does not prophesy anything, any event in particular. There's some idealists now who are selecting one or two events, but they're usually taken to have happened a long time ago in the early church age. But it doesn't prophesy any particular events, just gives you a pictorial representation of principles. That's why it's called idealist interpretation. And they see this text of ours, them, as being presently or currently fulfilled in the progress of the gospel. And that will happen through till the end of the age, and then it will be finally and completely fulfilled in the eternal state, the new heaven and the new earth. Postmillennialists say this glorious worldwide dominion of the gospel will happen before Christ comes. And it will happen as the result of the church's evangelistic ministry and Christ preaching outreach. Premillennialists, on the other hand, say this is the consummation of the triumph of the gospel during the earthly reign of the Lord Jesus Christ after he comes in his glory. Now, there's three views. I'm not going to fight about them, or I'm not going to try and establish any this morning. I never hide what I am. I am trying to learn to speak more bluntly so that people know what I believe. But I am unashamedly a premillennialist, and I believe that these prophecies will have their final, complete fulfillment when Christ himself, the King of Glory, is on the earth. But the great thing about this truth is this. The text transcends every school of interpretation. In other words, no matter what our view about the millennium, no matter what prophetic line of interpretation, here is a glorious promise. And it's true according to every school of interpretation that all the powers and all the nations of this world will yield to Jesus Christ and will worship our God, giving praise to him in his ways. That is the absolute certainty that's set before us in the text. Now, from that, I want us to draw what I call a present confidence. Because this is the thing that I really want you to understand. You see, prophecy is usually a most unprofitable, forgive the pun, prophets should be profitable, but it is usually a most unprofitable study for people. And that's because they misuse it. People want to use the Bible the way a fortune teller uses a crystal ball. Prophecy was never given as a crystal ball. If your study of prophecy does not have an impact on your life now, then your study of prophecy is wrong. That's it. And I have been trying to emphasize this prophetic certainty in order that we may draw from it a present confidence. The certainty of the ultimate triumph of Christ and the gospel is meant to impart to God's people confidence in our witness, confidence in our warfare, and we can draw that confidence from two very important facts. And I think these may simply or very quickly be overlooked. But I want us to think this is the basis of our present confidence. The ultimate victory of the gospel. This is fact number one. The ultimate victory of the gospel is based on something that is true in every age and is true today. Notice carefully. Verse 5, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. Why? What brings it about? For great is the glory of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. Now understand this. That statement, great is the glory of the Lord, is the reason why these kings are brought in repentance and in worship to the Lord. But the greatness of the glory of the Lord is not confined to the future, whether the millennium or the eternal state. The greatness of the glory of the Lord is the same today as it will be when we are personally with Christ. You can neither add to nor detract from the greatness of the glory of the Lord. And the greatness of God's glory, if that is the reason for the ultimate and absolute universal triumph of the gospel, then it is a perfectly good reason for us to launch forth in confidence that if it's going to produce such a result, then it's perfectly capable of producing mighty results even here and now. That's what the Church of Christ has seen throughout its history. The glory of the Lord. It's a wonderful expression. And I will not try to expound it in detail, but I will try to give you some general idea of what we're supposed to take from it. The Jews, of course, were very familiar with the significance of the glory of the Lord. The Shekinah glory was the very heart and center of Jewish worship and Jewish experience. You remember that the glory of the Lord led them through the wilderness in the cloudy, fiery pillar. The Shekinah glory of the Lord stood over the Holy of Holies, not only in the days of Moses, but for a long time thereafter, so that Ezekiel in his day, which was the day of great apostasy and the carrying away of the Jews, talked about the receding of the glory of the Lord. We read in Solomon's temple how that the glory of the Lord filled the house to such an extent and with such a wondrous fullness that the very priest could not stand to minister. So the glory of the Lord was well understood by the Jews to mean the manifestation of the power and the majesty of the Lord Jehovah by means of his personal presence. And those are the elements. The power and the majesty of God manifested by means of his personal presence. And that glory is great, says our text. Now, that will help us to isolate a few things that we need to keep in mind when we say great is the glory of the Lord. It speaks to us of the Lord's transcendent sovereignty. This glory from heaven obviously is not of the earth. It is not produced by anything on the earth. It is not subject to anything on the earth. This glory is utterly above and beyond anything on earth, and it is in control of everything that's on the earth. You remember when the Lord manifested his glory to the Jews as he led them out of Egypt. And the glory of the Lord came to give them light. And the Lord visited Pharaoh and his host with darkness. You remember on that occasion how the glory of the Lord was the salvation of his people and it was the destruction of their enemies. God was saying that the mighty kingdom of Egypt is in the hand of the God of glory. He was making it clear that the mighty armies of the world are nothing in the hand of the God of glory. The glory of the Lord speaks of His total, transcendent sovereignty. It speaks also of His mighty power. The glory of the Lord could give light or darkness. The glory of the Lord could open up a sea or close it upon His enemies. The glory of the Lord is His almighty power as He moves in His own person to accomplish His own will. But that glory of the Lord speaks of His redemptive purpose. For that glory is especially associated with the Lord being present to redeem His people out of Egypt and the bondage thereof, out of the iron furnace. It is the glory of the Lord that is particularly associated with the mercy seat. Where did that Shekinah glory dwell? Right above the mercy seat, the propitiatory, the place where the mercy seat covered the law in the ark, where the blood sprinkled the mercy seat. Romans 3:25 tells us exactly the meaning of that. What is the meaning? It is that God hath set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation, a sacrifice of atonement to satisfy divine justice and reconcile guilty sinners unto Himself by the shedding of His blood. He hath set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's the redemptive purpose of the Lord. Ultimately, I've got to be very careful here, for I do not want in any way to detract from the majesty of those Old Testament appearances of the divine glory. But that cloudy, fiery pillar, that standing Shekinah glory over the Holy of Holies, were only little symbols of passing significance in comparison to the real, full, and final manifestation of the glory of God among men. For the glory of God, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, shines in the face of Jesus Christ. John said in chapter 1 of his gospel, we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the glory of God will speak to us of His transcendent sovereignty, of His almighty power, of His redemptive purpose, and all tied in to His personal presence as He prosecutes that purpose to its successful conclusion. Now that is the reason, that is the power that will bring the kings of the earth to worship the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.